Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things Kelly and to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast. We're excited because Chemistry, the Vegas intimate, what's it called? Weekend? Night?
An intimate night with Kelly Clarkson.
What a name. What a tagline.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's coming up. It's starting in just a few weeks. So we did an episode, and by we, I mean really Jeremy and I just showed up. We did an episode. I'm being very truthful here. We do a
50-50 podcast here.
That was not one, though, because I have never been to Vegas. But anyway, my point being is we did an episode back in March or April, give or take.
Whenever the residency was announced.
Yeah, I don't remember when. But, you know, a couple months ago, and Jeremy did a lot of research and also just from, like, his lived experience of, like, where to go, where to avoid, things to do, et cetera, et cetera. And we thought it might be really helpful to do a kind of, like, a little bit of an updated version with some Vegas locals.
Yes. Our friends Kaylee and Katie are going to be joining us here momentarily to give you a locals perspective of what to expect in Las Vegas, because we know that for those of you who are coming to the Chemistry shows, many of you may be coming to Las Vegas for the very first time, or maybe you've come before, but you've never come for a show specifically. And so we're going to have them give us some inside knowledge from everything about getting around Las Vegas to getting into the venue itself. I know that both of our guests have been to shows at the now known as the Bakkt Theater. They've been to it at several different iterations, but they've been to shows there and they know what it's like to actually get into the venue. And so hopefully some of the information that they have will help you have a really smooth concert experience when you come here to Las Vegas. When I say come here as if I'm like I'm there already. When you come to Las Vegas.
We are so excited to welcome back, actually, because both of these people have been on the podcast before. We are so excited to welcome Katie and Kaylee, not confusing at all. Welcome, guys. nice to speak with you guys again.
Oh, great to be back.
Great to be back. Thank you.
And it's actually good to see you guys as well, because I know we saw both of you guys at the Belasco show.
Yeah, I was so excited to be able to see. I was like, oh my gosh.
I
was like waving like an idiot.
and Pam, you came up behind me and I was like, I had to do like a double take. I was like, Pam?
He's like, surprise, I'm on the West Coast. That's as big of a surprise for you as it is for me. Did not think that was going to happen. The weather was wonderful. It was my first time ever in LA and only my second time ever in California. So it was a good time. And we're all going to be together again at opening weekend for Chemistry in Vegas. And we are excited to talk to both of you, especially because you guys are Vegas locals. So we're going to hear some tips, tricks, stories from you guys. And I'm sure a lot of people listening, I'm sure if they're going to Vegas, they may not be from the area. They maybe have never been before. They've never traveled to see Kelly. So there's a lot of things we're going to ask you guys and we're going to cover. And especially me, like I've never been to Vegas. So I have absolutely, all I know is like The Hangover and that's it. And I do not want that experience personally. Like I want a much tamer version. So you
basically
depends
know my
on the character.
Well, before we start getting the tips and tricks about Las Vegas, I want to have kind of some side conversations with both of our guests today. And Kaylee, we're going to start with you because as surprising as it is, and you know, Kelly has played Las Vegas a few different times, but we learned that the Belasco show that we saw you at, that was actually technically your very first Kelly show.
It was, yeah, it was, that's why I did like everything I could to make sure I could attend because I really wanted to see her and obviously was excited for Chemistry, but yeah, it's just never worked out either in her younger years. It was too expensive where I lived because I didn't always live here and, or I was traveling for work and early part of my career. So I've just, the stars have never aligned. The first time they ever aligned was to see, which wasn't the intention actually, to see her at the ACM Awards that they did last year with Dolly Parton hosting, which is why I actually bought the tickets. And then Kelly was a big surprise. Like, oh! And then, yeah, so this is my that was my full first full show. I was really, really excited.
So, which is kind of cool because then I feel like that was probably a pretty cool moment for you to see not only like the chemistry songs, but even like the encore songs of seeing Miss Independent and Since You've Been Gone. Those are the first times you really got to see those in concert. I'm sure that was pretty special for you.
It really was because, you know, I've seen, you know, Since You've Been Gone, we've talked about this before, it's not my favorite Kelly Clarkson song.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's just everywhere all the time, and that's fine. But the live version and being there experiencing it is an entirely different experience than watching other people experience it from like the different videos that you see from concerts and stuff. And it was amazing having that whole crowd like swell with you. And I still Miss Independent, I think I liked that one even better. I don't know. There was just something about that performance of Miss Independent that I really loved.
Yeah. And this is going to be even more exciting because when you, and you knew mine and you knew me, even though they had only been out for about a week or so at that point, maybe like a week or two, but Vegas will be like your first Kelly show that you know all the music. And like, I am so excited for you because that is just going to be a moment you will never forget.
And I gotta figure out if everybody sings along to every song or if there are songs that are like, you know, you sing this part, but don't sing the rest. And like, Kelly, you know, because every concert vibe is different. Sometimes everybody sings everything. Sometimes people just listen to a majority of it. So any tips are good.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the spectrum, Katie, not only, I mean, we could do an entire episode about your West Coast experiences with seeing Kelly because you told us off air that you try to see her pretty much anytime she's on the West Coast, but you have a very ambitious goal as a Vegas local coming up in July and August. Tell everybody what that is.
Yeah, well, I'm going to all of the residency shows. So I have tickets to 8 of them so far. I'm going to go in and I'll probably get tickets day of for the last 2 because I was waiting to see if some friends might be coming. And then that way I'm a little flexible if they wanted to come to a show with me and whatever.
Yeah. And that's awesome, first of all, that you have the availability to do all 10 shows. And I think that's really awesome. And you could probably write a book about the experience of all 10 shows. But that's exciting. I mean, I think you're probably going to win for person who attended the most shows, unless there's some other locals that are trying to hit up every single show.
I mean, I'm sure there has to be some other people. But, you know, as soon as I heard it, because, you know, for her first residency, I had originally bought like 3 tickets because there were going to be more shows, I believe.
Yeah.
And I wasn't planning to go on all of those. And I was like, oh, there's no way I'd be able to, you know, afford all of them if it's going to be so many and blah, 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 blah. And so I originally had bought tickets to 3 shows. And one of them was one of the, like the, they had like the bar stools, I think, still at that time. I forget. I had bought one of those and stuff. But I was like, you know what? I haven't seen her in, you know, 3-4 years and I don't have to spend money on travel. You know, I don't have to get a hotel. I don't, you know, I can, and now that I work day shift instead of night shift, I don't even have to miss work.
That's great.
So it's like, I can't not.
I don't know. Of course, if I had the means to do so and I lived in Vegas, absolutely. I would do the same thing. Like live it up. And I'm so excited because you're also, because, you know, as Kelly said, like none of us really know what's going to go down. It doesn't seem like Kelly really knows at this point that we're recording this, but it seems like the set list is going to be changing up a bit every night, especially with the chemistry songs. Like it seems like she's probably going to be doing like a few per night and like maybe some will stay the same, some will rotate. You're going to experience every single one.
I know. I am super excited about it. And every once in a while, some of my friends that aren't like Kelly fans, they're just like casual fans. They're like, oh, I'm going to go to like this show or I'm going to go to that show. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, great. I'll be there. I'm like,
just come find me.
Yeah.
Come find me. I'll be there.
Did you guys catch that the other day when she said that she about skip this part and because of how hard it was to sing at Belasco that she might not sing it at the chemistry? And I really hope that's not true.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, I missed that that from her.
I remember her saying that it was like a mistake that she did it a cappella, but that's all I remember. But yeah. you might be right. I at the time we're doing this, I was not able to watch all the lives when they happened yesterday, so I actually have to catch up later today. But oh man, that would be a bummer. Although, but it's like it was so heart wrenching.
Yeah. I wonder, it makes me wonder now what the production's like on the album since we haven't heard that one yet.
That's
if it's
true.
Different than the a cappella version that she sang at the Belasco.
Yeah. For sure. Before we get too far into other Vegas stuff, I was hoping Katie would tell this story. We didn't tell this story last time you were on, right?
I don't think so.
Katie has a bit of a claim to fame in the Kelly community, and I love...
She has a few, actually.
She does, yes.
Okay, the one that I think we mentioned last time is if you've ever watched the Behind Hazel Eyes DVD, she's the first person on camera, and I'm like, that's so cool! First person you see on the screen.
And I actually have a speaking part.
You do, and I didn't know you at the time. I didn't know you until a few years later, and I'm like, oh my god, that's her.
Katie has a bit of a more infamous claim to fame in the Kelly community, and Katie, I'm going to let you tell everybody what it is that you did that so many people have seen.
Well, it's not even my claim to fame necessarily because I'm not the one who posted it, but. I did film the show that she fired her guitarist Dwayne on stage, so I filmed that on my potato right from my seat.
I told Katie, I said, I'm so sorry, because every time we talk about that video, I'm always like, yeah, and it was shot on a potato, not knowing that we would interact and know the person who shot the video.
I mean, what are the odds, right?
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, you think out of all the people, you're never going to run into that person, but here you go. You have to eat your words. So you shot the infamous video where Kelly fires her guitarist, Dwayne, during, it was Breakaway Tour, right?
It was Breakaway Tour. It was Breakaway or Hazel Eyes. They all kind of
one of the
together,
two, yeah.
But I think it was Breakaway.
Yeah. How do you feel that? Because I feel like maybe once or twice a year, that video sort of resurfaces and kind of makes the rounds, and then everybody, you know, sees it again, and you know, it gets brought up, you know, every once in a great while. How does that feel every once in a while to see your video from the concert show up every so often?
I mean, it's kind of cool, except that I wasn't the one that uploaded it, so you know, it's a little disheartening because I mean. Not that I care about like credit or anything, but it's weird when something that you filmed, like you don't have any control over it, which I guess is the internet in general anyways.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like, oh, like, you know, it was just, I remember at the time I was not happy at all that it had gotten uploaded because then like, I think Perez Hilton had gotten a hold of it and you don't know what the media is going to take with that. That's why nobody had seen it for, you know, I think it didn't come out till like 5 years after it even happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it took that long for whoever to whoever to whoever and somebody ended up posting it. But I mean, it's out there now, but, and it actually ended up being a good thing because it did show how Kelly was a boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So the past aside, let's talk now about the future. And that is the Chemistry Intimate Evening performances from Kelly at the Back Theater at Planet Hollywood. And, you know, both of you, really, you know, we put out an episode not terribly long after the residency got announced, kind of giving everybody a sort of 30,000 foot overview of Vegas. And I just want to know, for my own sanity and for my own selfishness, let's say it, did we do okay as far as some of the advice, or is there anything that you remember hearing in that episode that you would say, I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that.
And that's for either of you. Not that we do okay. Did Jeremy do okay? Because I contributed nothing. I just showed up that day. I did absolutely no research. So I will not take credit for that.
I'm trying to remember, and nothing really that I can recall, like, stuck out per se. It was all, you know, pretty good advice. So
good job, Jeremy.
Especially from like a tourist perspective.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, there was nothing that I can recall. If I had known you were going to ask the question, I would have gone back and re-listened to, like, pick it apart.
I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, that's all good.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Obviously, a lot of things have changed, like, even within the last, like, year or so, you know, with the parking situations. And because originally, like, Planet Hollywood had free parking for the longest time. Up until I think maybe like a year, year and a half. And so now they've charged for parking. And so that's a whole other.
How much, do you know how much it is?
Give or take. Yeah. So I made sure to write that down. So for 4 hours on a weekday, it's 15. And then for all day, it's 18.
That's not too bad.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. And then the weekend, it's 20 for 4 hours and 23 for all day.
That's like much better than I thought. I thought you were gonna say it was like 45, because I know like sometimes like event parking here, like in New York or Jersey, it's like, oh, discounted $45 for, you know, the night. I'm like, god damn. So
well, other places around town, especially during like main events, like, you know, hockey games, then the event parking, I don't know about Planet Hollywood, but usually it's usually at least $30 for like event parking, unless you have like a high tier player's card.
The other thing too is they'll charge it to your folio too. If you're staying at anybody that's staying at Planet Hollywood, they'll charge it to your room folio. So you can just have it all as part of your bill. You don't have to necessarily like go in and out if you're renting a car, because some people may want to travel around.
Okay, so you could have it charged to your room, and that way you're not like constantly going back and forth and taking cash out. Yeah, that's a good bit of advice. Okay, so I guess let's start with when people arrive. You know, we had talked in our previous episode about like the best ways to kind of get around Vegas. Kaylee, we'll start with you. You know, what are kind of the best ways that you say for, because I would imagine that the majority of people are going to be coming into town. They're probably only going to spend a couple of days. So they, you know, they may not even get away from the strip at all. What do you kind of think is like the best way for people to get around?
Uber and Lyft is going to be your best bet if you're not renting a car. Cause those are prolific. You can get one there. They have every hotel has a part of the parking lot where the Uber and Lyft pickup and drop off is, so you can get that relatively easily. You're probably going to wait like a couple of minutes for a car to come pick you up. If you are renting a car, my recommendation is stay away from the strip, driving down the strip and the main crossroads, which are like, you know, it may not make sense to you now, but if you look at a map, Tropicana, Harmon, Flamingo are always going to have a flood of traffic, especially if you're coming in on the for the weekend shows. They're, you'll be sitting there and just kind of wasting time. So stay on. There's always parallel roads kind of just on either side of the strip that are great kind of thoroughfares. And as you get a bit further away, obviously, the less traffic you're going to encounter. So if you are going to drive, do stay. I know it's kind of fun to go down the strip, but if you're trying to get someplace, don't drive down the strip.
Yeah, I've never had a good experience with like driving myself in Vegas, because it just, the traffic is ridiculous, because it's all, I mean, it's kind of like, and I'll equate this for Pam. I mean, it's kind of like Times Square traffic like, you know, just a couple of blocks.
Oh God. I actually thought about this the other day when I was like in Times Square. I was like, I can't think of any amount of money you could pay me to drive in Times Square. Like I don't know. Anyway, not that anyone cares. So my question is about, this is for either of you, but like, I was in for a very rude awakening when I got to LAX a few months ago. Cause like their whole, I don't know what it's called, but like Laxit, I think it's called. They have to like go to a certain place to get, anyway, you guys probably drove. I don't know. I don't want to assume anything. But anyway, my point being is that like getting an Uber or a Lyft from at LAX was like the Hunger Games. It was impossible. Even when your phone told you, oh yeah, it'll be here in 7 minutes. It was like more like, 37 minutes so that you just had to cancel and take a, like a cab. Is it that extreme in Vegas, or like, will I actually be able to get any sort of car and not have to spend like almost $100? It was insane.
It's usually not that bad. I actually used to drive Uber and Lyft, and I mean, I never liked going to the Strip, but a lot of times it is hard to find. As long as you go into the right place and you keep an open communication with your Uber or Lyft driver, then it's usually fine. I remember I had one ride where it was like they had their pickup like in the middle of the Bellagio fountains. I'm like, this is not right. I'm like, cancel. I'm canceling here. Sorry. I can't find you.
From the airport, though, when you're coming in, it's relatively easy. There is a specific place in the parking garage across from where you pick up your baggage on the second floor where they have the Uber and Lyft waiting. And then, like Katie said, I also drove Uber and Lyft, and they have the Uber drivers wait in a area offsite, and then they just kind of come in as people request. So it's relatively straightforward. It's only if there's like a ton of flights coming in, it might just take a little bit longer, but I've never seen it take longer than like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Like, it was really bad. And like, same thing, like when I've done, you know, like LaGuardia or Newark, when I'm like back home, it's like absolute insanity. And I'm like, I feel like a lot of people they want to avoid that. They want to like make sure that they just like, even if it's a cab, but like you just want to make sure that you're like able to get one easily and you're not like breaking the bank. Cause I know like it was a horrible experience both when I arrived in LAX and when I arrived home. So I'm like, hopefully we can avoid that. So that's good to know that it should be kind of painless, hopefully.
Yeah, you just have to know where to go. So, like, yeah, after you pick up your bags or whatever, you literally have to go, like, up either the elevator or the escalator and then cross the bridge. And then there's, like, numbered holes. And that's if somebody's picking you up, that's where they're going to pick you up, too.
Okay,
so it's the same spot. So if you know somebody there that's going to pick you up, that's where they're going to meet you. So it's Terminal 3 normally. So.
And the nice thing is, too, is that, well, again, I'm going to assume that most people are going to be staying on or very, very close to the Strip. The nice thing is that the airport is essentially behind the Strip. Like it's right there. Like, and we talked about this in our other episode too. Like, usually when you come into Vegas and you land, look out your window of your flight. Cause chances are, if you're facing the right way, you're going to see the whole Strip out your window. I mean, it's right there. So
and if it's at night, it's really cool.
Oh, yes. It's beautiful at night.
That's great. Because obviously with like LA or with like any of the New York area airports, like you're not flying into like the main parts of the city. You have to drive at least like 30 minutes, if not more.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that whether it's an Uber or a cab ride, it's not terribly far to wherever you're going because, like I said, it's right behind the Strip. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're only in for maybe a, you know, at worst, like a 20 to 25 minute cab or Uber ride. I mean, am I roughly right there, ladies?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, pretty much anywhere to get from one part of Vegas to the other is like 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. Excellent.
And you're looking at about, because I know you mentioned like $100 or something like that for LAX. I think you're probably, if you're staying somewhere in the center of the Strip, looking at probably closer to $20 to $25, depending on if they're doing like surge pricing or.
Oh my gosh! I mean, 100.
I would say you're about 20.
100 was a little extreme, but when I like arrived back home in Jersey, that was literally almost $100. But LAX was still like at least like 60 to 75, which was still like way too much in my opinion. So I will gladly take $25 gladly.
Well, and let's talk about that, too, as we're also speaking to two former Uber drivers. What is considered, like, when would we get surge pricing in Vegas?
Oh, my goodness. That's all over the place.
Because, like, I mean, we're going to be in the middle of the summer.
Whenever they decide, they want to make more money.
That's fair.
Yeah, it is all over.
Because it's not like Kelly Clarkson. It's not like Kelly's going to be the biggest show going on in Vegas, you know,
Adele
those weekends. Yeah, I mean, Adele's there. Katy Perry is there. I mean, there's
Maroon
a lot of shows
I think
going on.
There at that time. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on.
But there's not like, I mean, we're in the middle of the summer, so there's no, like, there's no Knights games. The Raiders aren't playing yet. Like, there's no sports. So hopefully, I mean, with any luck, maybe most people, I would say especially like the Wednesday show people, We'll probably miss like the surge pricing, I'm guessing.
They do surge pricing at I would say pretty consistently they'll do surge pricing around evening traffic, the
rush hour traffic.
So that's something to be aware of, you know, because obviously the shows are going to be, you know, in the I can't remember what, of all the things, I can't actually tell you exactly what time the shows start.
I don't know if they were like 7 or 8 p.m.
Okay, that's what I figured. Okay, so, but at the same time, I mean, you're probably going to want to, you know, get there relatively early. So you are probably going to catch, you know, a little bit of the evening rush as far as driving there.
Yeah, because you'll want to get, yeah, because there is a line even just to get into the venue. And that's what I'm sure you wanted to discuss.
We're gonna go down that road because Katie has been to some shows at the Back Theater already. In fact, recently you saw the Chicks there, mm-hmm. right?
I saw the Chicks, and actually I saw the Gorillas prior to that.
Oh, nice. Oh, right on. So Katie will have the full like walkthrough of how it works at the Back Theater. So that's exciting. Anything else transportation wise? Because I also brought up with everybody about like if they wanted to get around, like what have your had any experiences with like the Deuce buses at all?
I personally haven't ridden them, but when I was going through videos, I was going through some Vegas videos just to get some ideas of what people might want to know, and they did recommend it. So I mean, if you don't have like a large group with you, or if you do, I guess, I mean, it's definitely a cheaper option if you're not, you know, if you don't have to be somewhere like super quick, I guess, and mm-hmm. you don't want to walk, and especially if you're going to go downtown, I would imagine that's probably your best, like, affordable option if you don't want to shell out for, or if it's too busy for the Uber or Lyft. But it is going to be busy, and it is, you know, a public bus. So
yeah,
I've taken the Deuce a few times because I had a few years ago I had a car accident. My car was in the shop, so it was just I was taking the bus to avoid rental car fees, and the thing about the bus system is if you're not on the strip, it's an entirely different set of pricing than it is if you're taking the bus that goes down the strip, and that is more expensive by like two or three times the cost. Mm-hmm. And it is insanely packed, so sometimes you're gonna have a bus and you're waiting at the stop and you try to get on and it is so packed that you're not going to get on even just a single person, and you'll have to wait for the next bus. Now there is a ton of buses that roll through there, so it's not like you're going to wait, you know, a huge amount of time, but if you get that back to back, especially on a weekend, then that can be kind of frustrating. Again, it is going to be cheaper than an Uber. So of the pricing options, it is definitely the cheapest, but I do want to make sure that, like, if people are looking at the prices, they're not looking at the around town prices and they're looking at to take the bus along the strip, and then just be aware that you could have to wait for a couple of buses to get on, especially if you're in a group of people. You're definitely probably going to have to wait on the weekends.
That's really good to know.
Isn't there also like the train thingy? Not train. I don't know. The
monorail.
Words. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I like the monorail a lot. I mean, it only has a few different stops. One of the stops is not Planet Hollywood, but it does stop relatively ish close.
Paris, I think.
Yeah. So
yeah, Harris and, Flamingo, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and I've always found whenever I take it, it's not crazy busy. I think some people forget that it's there, or they just would rather use other forms of transportation. So it's not terribly expensive, so it's a decent option if you're trying to kind of skip way ahead to a place. Like if you need to get further down the strip in a hurry, quote unquote a hurry, you know, the monorail can be a relatively decent option. At least that's what I've found in my experience.
Yeah, I actually used it when the NFL draft was here, because it was at, they did a bunch of stuff at outside of, I think it was the Flamingo. That's where I had to go. And I didn't want to park anywhere near it. So yeah, I parked on one end of the strip and then took the monorail over just to make it, you know, easier and didn't have to walk too much. Because you can walk places too, but do not walk downtown. That's, and do not walk to the stratosphere.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Big nose.
Yeah, pretty much once you get to what is it? And you're going to have to, ladies, you'll have to help me out here because it's been a minute since I've been to Vegas. But pretty much once you get to, it used to be called the SLS. Is it still that?
Sahara.
No, it's Sahara, Sahara again. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Once you pretty much get to about there, you don't want to go any farther than that, especially headed towards the Stratosphere. And Strat was not one of the hotels that we necessarily recommended. For multiple reasons. So yeah, when it comes to walking, you know, you kind of want to stay near the, like, the really, really lighted area of the strip, we'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on the other end of the other side of the street, you've got Circus, and then Resort World, and then don't go past Resort World.
Yeah.
And people forget, or they just, you look at a map and sometimes it's just hard to tell from, say, Mandalay Bay to the Sahara, you're talking about a couple of miles. So it could seem easy. Oh, I want to walk, you know, even walking between one property and the next, you're talking about a decent amount of space because the properties are so big. I know from like the parking lot to the front of the MGM is about a mile.
Wow.
So you're, I mean, the size of the properties are huge. So take that into consideration when walking. But that is one of my recommendations. If you've never been to Vegas, you have to at some point just know that you're going to put your walking shoes on. But just walk along the strip, pop into hotels, pop out, just casually go about because it's fun just to see everything.
Yeah.
Even in the heat, they have misters on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah, good. I was going to say, good. We are going to be there in the middle of the summer.
So. Which I am not.
So be aware, it is hot.
I was not thrilled about that as someone who sunburns very easily. I was like, oh, great. I'm like, as you're talking, I like pulled up my Google Maps because like, I'm not staying at Planet Hollywood, but like, I kind of like, is Google Maps correct in terms of like how long things would take to walk or no?
Potentially. Depends on how fast you walk.
I'm a fast walker.
One of the things that that is a little deceiving about the walking the strip is that there are several different places where it forces you to cross over the street and walk on the other side, and then it'll like bring you back over. And so what you think looks like, you know, a straight shot down the road that's only going to take you, you know, 30 minutes or so could end up taking you 45, 50 minutes because it, at some point, the walkway is going to make you cross over the street on a ped bridge and then walk down the other side of the street and then come back over again. I mean, it's a little convoluted in a few places, and it can be very deceiving. Like they said, wear your good walking shoes because you are going to walk a lot.
And never, ever cross when you're not supposed to. If you actually are not doing a ped bridge, don't do it.
Wait,
you
really?
Get hit by a car.
Even try.
Don't, yeah.
Oh, because I'm like a notorious jaywalker when I can. No, good to know.
No, don't do it. Don't do it for a number of reasons. Because one, there's a lot of the parts of the sidewalk are blocked off to the street. So you might like go one way and then you won't be able to get back onto a sidewalk. And then you will get a ticket. And they are not cheap.
They ticket you for jaywalking?
Oh, hell yeah.
What?
Because we have a very high pedestrian death rate, an extremely high, because we have so many pedestrians and so much traffic, and we have drunk people. So that's why they put in so many pedestrian bridges across the main thoroughfares, which is awesome. It doesn't stop traffic. It doesn't stop people. But there's still areas where pedestrians can cross the road. So please, please. Do not get hit by a car, please.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
And one of those places where you do cross the actual street is right in front of Planet Hollywood. So, like, I'll be probably parking across the street because I have a player's card for, I think it's MGM Properties. So I'm going to be parking there and walking across the street. So just be aware. Yeah, do not cross when it's not your turn. And people are crazy anyways, especially on the strip. So just don't even.
Wow. But. Good. That I'm really glad you brought that up because like I always jaywalk. Like it's just what I do here.
You need to get rid of your New York state of mind when it comes to crossing streets.
I know.
When it comes to Vegas, bad. Because it's a different ball. You know, you would think, oh, I'm big city. You know, I can.
No,
I know how to walk across the street. No, it's a whole different game in Vegas.
Damn. Okay. Thank you.
And the roads are really big. too. Mm-hmm. So it's I know there's big roads in New York in specific areas, yeah. but I know that there's also narrower blocks or yeah. crossings. All of the ones that you're going to encounter on the Vegas Strip are massive. You're talking about six lanes.
It's like highway.
It's going the other.
Oh, it's like highway yeah, like
there's,
stuff.
Yeah, there's like a usually there's like a barricade in the middle where you have to kind of wait if you can't make it all the way across, especially the one right in front of Planet Hollywood.
Good to know. I feel like Kaylee may have touched on this, but I like not sure if I comprehended it correctly. Are a lot of the hotels like connected to each other, or is that sort of a thing?
Kind of. Yeah, it depends on the hotels. Like, for example, Bally's, which did they just recently change Bally's names? It's funny because I worked there for like 7 years.
it's Horseshoe now. I have some.
That's right, Horseshoe. They changed it to the Horseshoe brand. I worked for Caesars for like 7 years. So the Horseshoe and Paris are connected, and then it's just like a little hop, skip, and a jump to get from Paris to Planet Hollywood. And then you can actually take a bridge from Caesars Palace, a short bridge right into the shops of Bellagio. So you can, there's like ways to like wiggle your way around where you're not outside a ton. If you're, you know, burn super easy or just not a huge fan of the heat, you will have to go in and out, but there are some that are connected directly and some that are connected by like bridges or walkways.
So another question I have is, because as I like Google Maps, like would any of your like GPS maps, this might be a really stupid question, but like, do they pick up inside stuff or they only pick up the outdoor? Does that make sense?
I've had hit and miss.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Depends on your signal inside the hotel. And then depends on your carrier.
Oh.
Yeah, that varies. Yeah. Some will have, you know, Wi-Fi, but yeah, your service is going to kind of fluctuate depending on what you have and where you are.
Because I was wondering, I meant more like, does it, how do I say this? Like, if I want
to
walk.
Does it tell you where to go?
Yeah, like where to go within the resort? Like, make a left into this hallway. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's not that specific. It's not that specific. But I mean, you'd have to basically follow the signs. Because I tried doing that one time too. Because I tried to do the monorail on the way back from when I was doing the NFL draft thing. And it was like, it wasn't really giving me great, like actual directions. You just kind of have to know what direction you're going in and then follow signs.
So reading is important. Is key. Okay.
Or ask people. I mean, everybody is going to be, and as long as they're not also lost, you shouldn't have a problem asking, especially if you're looking for a bathroom or if you're looking for like the monorail or something like that, or the Uber or Lyft.
That's good to know. That's really helpful.
There's generally security guards on the inside of the hotel, and they're going to be a wonderful resource for helping direct you in the right location, especially if you get turned around, which is incredibly easy to do. But they are so helpful. Like, they're trained to specifically to help guests find like their locations in various degrees of serviceness. Some of them will like walk with you, but others will kind of give you the right directions. So they're a great resource if you get turned around.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say, whenever I've had a question or I just needed some help with something, I always duck into a hotel and I find either a concierge desk or I find a security guard. Everyone is always really, really helpful. So that's a good rule of thumb if you just need some help finding something.
Good to know.
In a minute, we're going to talk about the actual venue itself. But before we do that, another thing that I know a lot of people are going to have questions about is where to eat when you're in Vegas. And so I know we could do an entire episode just on Vegas restaurants because it has some of the most incredible restaurants in the country. But if you could give like a couple of recommendations, if you know, because yes, you know, Vegas has got your McDonald's, your White Castle, your Popeyes, your whatever, you know, fast foods that you have back home in case you,
In-N-Out.
You know,
I've never been to In-N-Out. That's a
definitely
cool one.
Need to.
Yeah.
There's one on the link now. So
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to to travel because there's another one, but it's not really in walking distance. You have to kind of take a cab or an Uber to it.
You have to go across the freeway.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But, you know, so you've got your regular fast food fare if that's just your bag. But for people who don't necessarily, want to eat at the same kinds of places. We want you guys to think about a couple of different ones. I'm just going to throw in, and In-N-Out was actually going to be one of my suggestions for those of you who do enjoy the fast food. I also, and this is, you know, for those of you who don't mind a little unhealthy travel food, I love me some Fatburger, which they have down on the Strip. I always eat there whenever I go to Vegas. It's great, just greasy fast food that they don't have everywhere else. Fatburger.
Yeah. The ones that I went to prior to living in Vegas were actually like sit down, but they were like more like quick service rather than like fast food. But the ones here, you can find them in like one of those, you know, like a food court kind of thing. That's usually what it is. But it is nice because you get to basically build your own burger. You can put whatever you want on it. You got all the toppings.
And I don't know if it's I don't know if it's like a West Coast thing only or something, but I know like we don't have them in the Midwest. So that's one I always try to go to. But I know there's also
Fuddruckers, which is kind of similar.
Fuddruckers, that still exists?
Yeah, Fuddruckers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a throwback. They don't have them anymore.
Yeah, I say they don't have them where I am anymore either.
Yeah.
But again, there are a lot of really, really good other restaurant choices. Katie, let's start with you. You got a couple of good options you like?
I actually, like when I was doing my research for this, I did focus on the ones that were at Planet Hollywood, since that's where most of the listeners are going to be at. And like, I was like, you know, I thought there were maybe like a dozen or whatever restaurants, and I looked, there's like over 20 restaurants just inside Planet Hollywood. And then they've got the mall, and there's anything from fast food, from like Panda Express and Subway, to, you know, higher end, restaurants and stuff. The one I've been to recently was Gordon Ramsay Burger. So it's a burger place. It's more on the high end. So you're going to spend, you know, probably 40, 50 bucks for, you know, dinner. But it is good. And, it's got a chef's name attached to it. So it is going to be more expensive. But it is good. Also inside that area, there's P.F. Chang's. There's like Blondie's, which is a sports bar. There's La Salsa Cantina, which is a Mexican restaurant, along with a Yolo's, which is also a Mexican restaurant.
Yolo, I love that.
Yeah, there's a Yolo's. But one thing you won't see anymore as much is buffets. So I know the Planet Hollywood buffet is closed for the time being. And so if you're looking for a buffet, that Planet Hollywood does not have one. But one thing I also wanted to mention was when I was doing my research, is that there's actually a website that has discount codes for a lot of the restaurants that are in Planet Hollywood.
What's the website?
So it's called MiracleMileShopsLV.com. And it'll give you like discount codes for like a good portion of some of the restaurants. But there's like a Sbarro in there. So, I mean, a lot of them are just, there's a Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's like a lot of your mall fast food kind of places.
Basically. Yeah. Some of the, I did recently eat at, there's a Ketchup Burgers place in Planet Hollywood that was pretty decent, and it's open late. Like, I went after one of the shows that I went to. Mm. And, like, also Earl's Sandwich, that was open late as well. So,
good to know.
It might be open 24 hours too. I'm at least it used to be. So the but if you're looking for like a sit down, one of my favorite places inside Planet Hollywood, if you like Brazilian, is the Pampas Grill, which is one of those Brazilian steakhouse type things where they come with skewers of meat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Give it to me. Yes.
And one I haven't been to, but what looked really cool, and I didn't even know this existed, is called Flights. And they have lunch and
Kaylee breakfast. Saying no.
No.
I say Kaylee's giving a medium review.
Yeah, I was like, I haven't been.
If you want to drink, that's a good place, because the Flights is flights of like cocktails and different kinds of cocktails. So great to drink. The food was mediocre.
Yeah, that's good. No, I saw it and I thought it seemed interesting. I was like, oh, I wonder. And so that's good that you know, but I mean, there's Nacho Daddy. There's also a Korean barbecue place, if you're familiar with Korean barbecue.
I love Korean barbecue.
Yeah, I love Korean barbecue too. So, I mean, like I said, there's like, I have like 20, there's a Cafe Hollywood, which is just they're like a cafe type, and there's some sport. There's so many different. You'll be able to find at any price point, pretty much.
That's great.
But everything, just as a general rule, though, food in Las Vegas is more expensive than anywhere else.
When you're like in like cities, like major cities, you're always like have to be prepared to like spend way more than you would normally.
Yeah, like expect $20 for if you want a drink or even just a well drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kaylee, some of your restaurant suggestions.
So I'll second her Gordon Ramsay burger. I love Gordon Ramsay burger. It is like if you don't want a fat, if you want to like a, I'm going to call it a classy burger. It's just a fancy burger. Also, one that she didn't mention is actually my favorite restaurant in Planet Hollywood. It is going to be a little bit more on the higher end side, but if you like sushi, it's the joint is Koi.
I've heard of that. I feel like Kelly used to go there back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
There's one in Los Angeles. Yeah.
I'm not a big seafood person, so.
Oh, my God. I love sushi. So,
yeah.
But I will give a high recommendation to Koi. I love Koi. I focused most of mine off the strip, and it's not very far from Planet Hollywood. So maybe about a mile from Planet Hollywood. There's like a whole group of restaurant area that I would highly recommend. So my favorite steakhouse in Vegas is Cleaver, and it's like I said, about a mile from Planet Hollywood, and sitting in the bar area is the best choice versus the dining room because it's very cool. They have a giant picture of both like Eddie Murphy and like just different. It's very cool. It's a sister property to Herbs and Rye, which is a very famous restaurant in Vegas. And their bar area is just a vibe that is so much fun. And they're always have like a 50% off their cuts of meat. So if you're a big steak person, highly recommend. Then in that kind of group, you have tacos and beer, which very inexpensive. Tacos and beer. Literally.
Where is this? Because I'm not familiar with this area.
So Paradise and Flamingo. So you have Bahama Breeze, and they move Firefly over there, which Firefly again is one of my recommendations. It's a tapas place, really fun. On Friday nights they do salsa dancing, which is really fun. Just back along Paradise, just past Flamingo. It's like that across from the Howard Hughes Center. That's for Katie because she didn't probably know what I'm talking about. It's tacos and beer, Cleaver, and then another sushi place that's more teppanyaki, actually, and it has a pretty good cool history. A lot of famous people have gone there. It's Musashi. Yeah, and you're not going to pay a ton in an Uber ride, and it's not going to be very far, right? Because you're talking, it'd probably take you 10 minutes, maybe. With traffic to get from behind Planet Hollywood, if you're staying, I'm just using Planet Hollywood as the main reference point, but anywhere Center Strip to that group right there. So it's very convenient. And that's why I kind of focused there, because regular prices, lots of options, really good food without, you know, having to deal with the whole on the strip situation, which can be annoying at best.
There was another one that I had found, and maybe you have been to this one. I haven't been to it. It's the Ocean One Bar and Grill at Planet Hollywood. Apparently they have some decent, when I was looking online, they have some like pretty good lunch deals and drink deals. So I haven't had the food there, but that when I was looking at some other videos, that was one that was brought up at Planet Hollywood.
So we've got a lot of great restaurant options. Thank you very much for those, ladies. Those are all excellent. I'm glad to see that there's a lot of really good places to eat at Planet Hollywood because I know a lot of people are they want to stay familiar, so they want to stay by the venue. And so a lot of people I know booked rooms at Planet Hollywood, which is really great because our live show is going to be at Planet Hollywood. So that's going to be really exciting. So everything that you need to know and everything you need to do
it's on Vegas. Premises. It's all one place.
It's on premise,
One stop shop.
Yeah.
Kelly's at Planet Hollywood. Missing the Podcast is at Planet Hollywood. It's going to be great. Yeah. Okay. So now, speaking of Planet Hollywood, Katie, you have sort of done some reconnaissance work for us in preparation for this episode, and you've actually been to some shows at the Backed Theater already. We would love for you to sort of give us your review slash some tips and tricks for when we are going to the actual venue.
Yeah, of course. So I've been to two shows recently. One of them was the Gorillaz show, and one of them was the Chicks, which I kind of used more as a reference because it was a shorter residency, and there was a lot of similar stuff. The Gorillaz was just kind of like, it was a one-off. It was also
right.
full. It was they opened up the entire thing, so there were a ton more people. So there was like, they said there were like over 7,000 people, when normally for what, like the one of the Chick shows, it was about 3,300.
Oh, wow. And that's small.
So, and it's the same venue, mind you.
Right.
But they opened up. But for the Gorillaz show, like the parking situation after was horrible. That's why I was like, I didn't recommend, after that show, I wouldn't have recommended parking at Planet Hollywood at all. It literally took 3 hours just to pay for parking.
Oof.
Not even just to get out of the parking, like just to pay. There was like a line around the entire mall.
Oh my God. Kaylee, you have a similar situation?
Oh yeah. I've been to a number of shows at Planet Hollywood. They've rebranded back to theater like four times, I think, in the last decade. But, and she's right. And part of that is because you're coming off of a smaller side street into an incredibly narrow like back street in order to get into the parking garage. And so that gets incredibly congested, even on a busy day, but after a show, do not recommend.
All right, so park off-site.
Yeah, but this is just a pay for parking. For that show, it was crazy. And my friend and I that went, we ended up just going to Earl of Sandwich and eating there while we were waiting for the line to go down. And
That's smart.
So the next time when I came to the next show, we parked across the street and walked over. I found out, because I originally thought Planet Hollywood had free parking, and they did up until a year and a half ago. It was free parking at Planet Hollywood, and now they've started charging. So that, and then they've got like four or five kiosks.
Oh my gosh.
For, you know,
hundreds of cars or whatever. Yeah.
But I mean, still it's potentially that like, so it, yeah. yeah. So if you're not staying on property or nearby and you're driving to the venue, I recommend parking at a different location just for that. It's worth just the walk.
Yeah. So for, in terms
and
of,
don't do Bally's or Paris either. It's the same situation, 'cause they're all like in that same back street. So you're going to get the same kind of congestion that will back up into the parking garage. Do not do Bally's, Paris, or Planet if you don't want to deal with that.
Okay. Good to know.
Horseshoe. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Horseshoe.
In terms of like, this could be for either of you, but in terms of like seeing shows at the theater, you know, there's a lot of different options. Like, you know, there's obviously like the general admission there is, and there's also just like regular, like there's also, I think, tables. Like, I guess there was some VIP option for tables. And then there's just like your normal like orchestra, whatever. I don't know how they're branding it, but like regular seating. Do either of you have like experience of sitting in different places in the theater, and like what that experience was like with like getting to your seat, seeing the show, the sight lines, things like that?
I wanted to go back because for as far as like the Bach Theater, like they started setting up for the line at 5:30.
People start waiting at 5:30?
Right. That's when they start setting up the line, because there's going to be a big line just to get in the venue. Then there's a separate line for the VIP. And if you have like tables and stuff, there's a separate line on the left side of the theater for that. On the right side of the theater, and it basically goes into the mall, there's like a bar right here where that serves drinks. That's like, it's the yard, the one of those yard drinks. And they put up some like barricades, like just a little, you know, poles or whatever, and they line it up. And that's where everybody's going to wait, including general admission, including regular seats, everything other than the VIP, basically, are going to line up on that side. Like, and it can be very long as well. So that's why I do recommend getting there early if you can, because you're going to have to go through that line, which goes through security, no matter where your seats are.
I don't even know how to phrase this, but like the VIP or the tables, for example, you said those are separate lines. Did mm-hmm. they get to go in earlier?
No, I haven't been on, I haven't had a VIP seat at this venue yet. I do for this tour, or for this, for the residency. But yeah, they do kind of let them in as far as what I could tell, because there is an early entry is part of the thing. So they do let them in early, and there is one merch. There's one merch booth.
Wow.
And it's right as you go in, it's to the left, and that's where the merchandise is going to be.
And one merch booth for the whole show. That's like Belasco. Yeah. They had like one thing for the whole show. Oh my God. That's going to be a long
one. Yeah. So I would recommend definitely getting your merch early. If you get there early, get it then. Cause otherwise you're going to be waiting in those long lines for merch later, which is expected, you know, in a show. But if you know you're going to get merch, you know, I know you're going to have to hold it through the show, especially if you have a GA, but no, better safe than sorry. I've been burned before, so
yeah, that's a good idea. And like, have you noticed, this is a weird question, but I know a lot of people probably are wondering, like, for the merch, at least, like, are they giving out bags or whatever, or you just have to hold it?
They did have bags at that point in time, but that could vary per
could be the artist,
per the artist, because I don't think that the venue coordinates that.
Okay.
But one thing that they do have at all the residency shows that I've been to, which they had them for the Chicks and a couple of years ago when they had it for Gwen Stefani. So they have souvenir cups that you buy at the bar. Ooh. And my guess is that the Kelly one's going to be purple, but that's my theory, just because that seems to be the color theme. And so it'll probably have Kelly Clarkson on it.
I'll just mention that the one nice thing, and this is true of a few venues, but the one nice thing about the back theater, if you're sitting kind of back a bit, you're still getting a really great view. Because I, when Britney Spears, before this was transitioned to back, but when Britney Spears was doing her residency there, I've sat all over that theater. And even from the very nosebleeds at the back of the, like the first, they hardly opened the top balcony, but the main, seats, you're still getting a good view. So the way it's set up is really nice. So don't feel bad if you like are sitting towards the back of the seating. You're still going to get a great view. You're not, and the sound quality is great. So
yeah, the theater isn't that big.
For me, I'm a big audiophile when it comes to shows, and I, you know, some venues have really great sound, some not so much. Good sounding venue, Kaylee gives the thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had any issues. I mean, I'm no audiophile like yourself, but it depends. I mean, a lot of it might be where you're sitting. Like when I went saw the Chicks, we were in the pit, and you know, you have some minor issues sometimes. But I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't have any major issues. So, but yeah. One thing I do want to touch on too. So I had an issue when I was at the Chick show, and I think I talked about this to you a little bit earlier, Pam, was that there's one bathroom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
For the whole venue. Like I had to go to the bathroom before the show, and there's no opening act. So
that's right.
Like I had my friend hold my spot in, cause we were in the against the stage on the pit. And so I'm like, I better go to the bathroom. Otherwise I'm going to be miserable. So I go, and the line is like 40 people long. And it's like 5 minutes before the show, and I'm like, oh god. I ended up having to go outside the venue, go up just across the way, there's a bathroom in the casino, and like there's no line there. So luckily I was able to get there and back before the show started. I was like,
but they allowed you to leave the venue and come back?
Yes. Yeah, so they just had to unscan your ticket, and then but then you do have to go back in line, so you know,
through like security and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. So just be aware of that.
Oh my
God. But yeah, make sure you just go to the bathroom before you go to the venue. I mean, obviously if you're going to be drinking and stuff, you might have to go, but, like on the first level, there's the bathroom. There might be some on the top level if they open it up. So
and they did.
I think for certain shows, they open it up. I don't know about all of them. I think certain ones they did though.
I was going to say, definitely the opening weekend, they opened it up, because I know that they did for the first night for sure.
Yeah. It's like almost all the Saturdays.
Okay. So some takeaways that I'm hearing here about the theater is don't bother parking at the Planet Hollywood Resort. park elsewhere if you do have to drive a car to the venue. When you get to the venue, get there early because you'll want to get into line early. Was the merch accessible prior to going inside through security, or is that after you get through security?
It's after you get through security.
Okay. So you'll want to get in line early so that you can also get to merch early. But then also probably the first thing you want to do after you get your merch is go to the bathroom.
Or you should probably go even before you get in. Like literally right across, there's a bar in the center. And, you know, when you leave the venue, there's a bar in the center, and then past that is the casino. And then to the right, there's a will call. It's right next to the will call. And then you've got the bathrooms that are there.
All right. So bathroom, get in line, get inside, get your merch, maybe wait till like 45 minutes before the show starts, go to the bathroom again in case there's a line, and then
get your cup.
It's like a science. Yes.
It is. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a careful dance to make sure that you have the most optimal experience possible at the show.
And then, so a lot of people had been questioning about like the general admission for the pit.
Oh, yeah. Like left versus right.
Right. So the only difference there, because it is all connected, and it is, that's where you're going to line up. So they have all a separate line for the general admission. Once you enter, you'll go either to the right or to the left, depending on where your ticket is. And they'll line you up, and then they will walk you down all the stairs once the doors open and take you to the pit.
Okay. But then once you're in the pit, it's all just like a free for all, and you basically just line up wherever. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. And like I said, they don't even start posting up the line to like 5:30 is when they actually build the line outside, like to mark it off for like security or whatever.
That's good to know. Cause like this is, I mean, I know on a lot of the more recent tours, like Kelly's had a catwalk, and I was confused when there was no catwalk for this, yet there was still the right and left. I'm like, how on earth are they going to actually like divide it? And I love that.
There is no division. It is just like one big. So if you have a friend that has right and you're in left, it's not like you won't be able to like stand next to each other. Yeah. It's like I say, it all just goes into, it's just, I think, an organization thing. So you don't have, you know, so everybody comes
mass
in.
Massive people.
You
know,
yeah.
This tends to be a confusing thing for people where the theater is located. The quickest way to the theater is to go just directly through the center of the casino. So go past Art Bar and just straight to the back. If you try to come in it from the Miracle Mile, you can. However, it is actually a significantly further walk because the way that the Miracle Mile is set up is kind of like in a round. So you're going to be walking through, and there's the outside of the Miracle Mile walk, and then there's the inside, and the theater's on the inside. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people end up walking all the way outside, and they're like, I can't find it, because they forgot to cut in the middle. So my recommendation is, when you walk into the casino, walk into the casino, not to the Miracle Mile, and just go straight through the casino back to the theater. It's like, it's a straight shot pretty much, or pretty close.
Yeah,
to
you'll
it.
Want you'll be tempted to go through the mall, but it's a longer way. It is a circle though, so you'll eventually find it. But
good to know. That's really helpful.
Or you'll end up on the strip again.
Do they at least have like signage inside the casino?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
They do.
Good to know. Katie, I had one last question for you about something that we had spoken about offline a little while ago. And that was, because you are going to every single show, you had told us that you're going to try, whatever that might be, in whatever capacity you're able to do this, you're going to try to do some live streaming for at least the portions of the concert that are going to be different every night. And is that something that you're planning to do on like Instagram, on YouTube?
Well, see, and that's what I wanted to kind of talk to you guys about. Like, what would be the better place to do it? Because I mean, I have, you know, all social media or whatever. And I remember back when, what was it? There was a
Periscope.
App.
Periscope. Yeah. During the Piece by Piece tour. That was a thing. Yeah.
I remember when Kelly announced she was pregnant, I was live streaming at the time.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And we're like, wait, what did she just say? Did she just say what we think she just said?
Yeah.
And so yeah, exactly on Paris. So I'm thinking I probably will do Instagram. I'll stream it from there.
And is your account public?
I believe so. I'll have to, if I thought it will be.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure it is though.
Okay. I mean, like, if you're cool with Kelly fans, like, tuning in and watching, like,
I mean that's what it's for, you know.
We will tag we'll tag Katie's Instagram in this post when it comes out, so you can go ahead and follow her if you'd like, and be on the lookout for possibly some cool exclusives, because as Kelly kind of mentioned a couple weeks ago, they don't have any plans to do like the Facebook Live thing that they did for Meaning of Life, because it's like a big ordeal. So this is like the next best thing. So
it'll be interesting, because my seats are kind of like I have like, I think 3 or 4 that are in the pit, but then I have other ones that are kind of, I have a table one night, and then another night I have just some like in the 100 sections and some in the 200 sections. So you'll get kind of a different perspective each time.
Yeah. So, I mean, on behalf of all Kelly fans, we appreciate you for doing this so much.
Yeah. Yes. I guess I'm sure other people will be doing it too, but, you know, this way you can have it all in one spot.
Yeah.
And it'll be, I probably won't do much of the other rest of the show just so that I can enjoy. I don't usually like to do it. Yeah. And, but since this is going to be different every night, it's definitely something that I know people would be interested in. So.
Katie and Kaylee are resident locals in Las Vegas, giving us the tips and tricks for the upcoming chemistry shows at the Back Theater at Planet Hollywood. Thank you so much for taking some time and for sharing your knowledge and your insight. Hopefully you have made some fans' trips to Vegas a little bit easier for them.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. I know I especially do, because I don't know anything about Vegas, and now I feel like I kind of know something. So
it's my pleasure. I love to help you guys out. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much. You too. And
I love promoting Vegas.
Yes, you're like, everyone come here. It's a great city.
It's,
so
it's finally living in Vegas finally is just paying off.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. It's about time.
As far as Kelly fans go. Exactly. Like a last hurrah before she moves back east.
Which I'm excited for. But anyway, so excited. We're looking forward to seeing both of you opening weekend.
Yes.
Thank you so much to Katie and Kaylee for joining us today and kind of giving us the lowdown on all things Vegas.
I feel infinitely more prepared now.
I think I am. I mean, I also just don't know what to expect. Like, again, like I'm going to show up and be like, where am I? But
exactly.
I feel like I need to like re-listen to this episode and actually take notes, jot some stuff down. And like how you were at Belasco with your little like notepad. I need to come to Vegas with like my notepad so I can just like know where to go, where to avoid. But yeah, super helpful. So we really appreciate both of them for giving us just like the 411 on like all things Vegas.
And of course, if you have any other questions about Vegas leading up to the shows in late July and August, by all means, hit us up on our socials at Miss Into Podcast. And if we can't answer the question itself, we will definitely pass it on to our resident Vegas experts, and they will get you an answer as well. In the meantime, Pam, time to do the socials.
My spiel. As always, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Miss Into Podcast. If you listen on the Spotify app, please consider leaving us a rating. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a rating and review so that other Kelly Clarkson fans can find us easier.
Next Tuesday, we are going to present to you the first of 3 consecutive episodes where we talk to people backstage at the Belasco Theater, and just going to hopefully get everybody hyped up for the Vegas shows. Hopefully you're enjoying the new Chemistry album. We know we are, and we're very excited for Vegas. So we've got a lot of really awesome episodes still to come, and we're looking forward to you guys tuning in.
Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you soon. Bye, guys.
Have a great holiday week. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.